You're listening to Marketing and Mocktails with Manal Sampat, a previously recorded Facebook Live episode inside the group Marketing and Mocktails with Manal, where dental professionals discuss, share, and learn about dental marketing. Manal Sampat is an entrepreneur, speaker, healthcare provider, and enthusiastic shoe lover. She's been featured in the Huffington Post, Dentistry IQ, Forbes, the Guinness Book of World Records, and more. Join her as she discusses marketing, team, business growth, with other industry experts. And if you'd like to receive 10 ways to improve your marketing today, simply text the word resources to 38470.
Start with a few questions here. Let's dive right in. The first one is good patience. Yeah, we talked about that one already. Okay, so this one is interesting. What content to put out? Now, when you try to do what kind of content to put out, this was from Dr. Maria. It's really important that you only post things that are going to get engagement. There is no other way of saying this. If something you post is not going to get engagement, don't post it. It's as simple as that. If you're going to go ahead and post something or create content around it, the number one question you should be asking yourself is, if I post this, will people comment on it? Will people love? Will people tell us that, you know, they're going to comment back and they're going to engage? Because without it, your content doesn't work. Linda had asked, you know, how do I make sure that the content that we have is consistent? Now, you always do want your content to be consistent, but you also want to do creative. So what I suggest with content is you come up with a calendar. Hi, Tammy, how are you? Thanks for watching. Let's go ahead and say that you create a calendar, all right? So I would do it for the entire month. I would write down and then I will put down all my thoughts on paper and say what it is that I actually want to share. And this goes for dental practices, this goes for business owners, consultants, coaches. I know we have quite a few mix in this group, which is awesome. But figure out what it is that you want to share. And here's a tip. Don't make it promotional. All those posts about, you know, call our practice or call this number, they are very promotional and very salesy. And the whole point of social media is to be social. So yes, can you just kind of put them up towards the bottom? Absolutely. You can create a long post and then always have at the bottom, you know, call this number if you want to learn more, or here's where you go to learn more. But you should not be doing that as a flat out content. Like, hey, call this number and come to see us because we like dentistry. Well, everybody who does dentistry, I hope, likes dentistry. That's not a good enough reason for you to just kind of put something out there and just say this is more promotional type. So your content should be very much based on, is this going to create engagement? So when you post something, is somebody else going to engage back with you? Are they going to enjoy reading this, right? Are they going to enjoy coming back to my page for more? And that helps the algorithm for Facebook. If you don't do that, what happens is Facebook actually sees that your post is not getting all this organic reach and engagement, and they're automatically going to push that post down. There are over 1 billion daily active users on Facebook, and there is no way that Facebook is going to show us everything that we want to see from all our friends, all our pages, all our groups at the same time. It just simply can't happen. That is too much content. So it kind of chooses posts on things that make sense. So they will go ahead and say, hey, what does Manal like? Manal usually likes shoes, or she likes long posts, or she likes books. And they will try to match my likes and my dislikes, right? So they will try to match that with the specific post. And then on top of that, they will see that they're going to, you know, whatever post is working well, whether it's a page or a group or a friend's profile, that's what they're going to show me. So I know that we had a question in here coming in and they said, well, how do I go ahead and make sure that I have posting enough times on social media, or I am getting conversions from social media. This is not a quantity game. Social media is not, especially Facebook, is not a quantity game. It's a quality game. And what I mean by that is you don't have to post every day. You absolutely don't have to post every day. You can post 3 to 4 times a week, you know, and that's okay too. Your goal, like I keep saying, should be, if I were to post it, will I get engagement? And if you get engagement, that post is going to show up over and over and over again throughout the different days. Think about this. When you go online, you know, on Facebook, or when you're on your timeline, you see this post coming up all the time. Like there's a post about, you know, somebody's birthday or anniversaries, right? And you keep seeing the same post over and over again. So you are like, well, why do I keep seeing this post when the birthday was last week? Because there are comments. And every time there is a comment coming out, that means that post is organically coming up in people's feed. So don't be obsessed with this idea of I need to post every single day. Don't do that. Hi, Marty. Hi, Jamie. How are you? Thanks for joining me. Hi, Tammy. Hello. Please tell me who you are. Tell me where you're watching from so I know and I can give you live shout outs. But yeah, so content-wise, you want to make sure that you have a calendar so you're not rushing, you know, at the end of the day and you're just trying to put something up. Create a calendar. Take about half an hour or an hour a month. Write down everything you want to share and then go another layer. This is a strategy. Then go another layer and then say, okay, if I want to share all these things, which of these are going to actually get me engagement? And then distribute them accordingly. Now, if you want to find out what time to post those things, because that was also a question in saying, how do I make sure that I'm getting in front of the people? While there are some ways, you know, some generalizations on when to post, really, it comes down to your data and your statistics. So if you do have a Facebook business page, I would, you know, go into insights. And if you go under insights and you go to post, you're going to see a graph. And that graph's going to show you when your fans are online every single day. That's how you could choose what days you want to post and when you want to post it, at what time you want to post it. And please don't just do filler post. Filler posts are not going to grab attention. They are not going to get you engagement. And if you're doing filler posts just so you have content out, do not do that. It's not going to help get conversions at all. You have to focus on always, is this going to get me engagement? If it's not getting you engagement, just delete it. Get it out of it. You don't need it on your content calendar. It is not a quantity game. All right? I hope you understand that. All right. So there we go. We had a question about, you know, what content to put out. Like I mentioned, your content should always be specifically to your ideal audiences, and are you going to get engagement out of it? The second question is, their biggest marketing roadblock is conversion. So Dr. Moon, you asked about conversion. I'm not sure what you mean exactly like that. Obviously, conversion is always a goal, but are you having a hard time tracking? Do you not know where people are coming from? Do you not know is what you're doing actually converting well? Like what do you mean by conversion? Or are you spending too much money and on your marketing and you're simply not seeing patients coming through your door? So there could be multiple things happening here when you said your biggest roadblock is conversion. And if that is your biggest roadblock, I want you to reverse engineer your marketing. So go into your monthly new patient numbers, figure out where are your new patients coming from, and then make sure that you have referral sources. Now, there are many different ways to track referral sources. There are programs out there that will do that. You could simply do a manual thing where you are writing down where people are coming from, you know, every new patient is coming from. The important part about tracking is you want to make sure that you add all the sources. Because simply, you know, it used to be that somebody will see an ad by you and they're just going to give you a call. It's no longer that case, right? Now somebody sees an ad, then goes to Google, then goes to your website, then checks out your reviews, then go to Facebook, then checks out your competition, and then they come to you. So there is a whole journey that your avatar goes through to do that. I don't know if you got my book. I think you got my book. But if you did get my book, if you were to go to, because I go through the entire patient journey on how you want to do this and how you want to create it. It's actually on chapter 4, and it's this right here. You see the patient journey happening right here? So it's an actual patient journey, and it also will walk you through the steps of who you're trying to attract. Because conversions are very much based on who do you want to bring to your business or your practice. If you're trying to attract a mom compared to a senior who's a grandmom, those are two different avenues, two different strategies, two different kind of messaging, and also your promotions or what it is that you're offering them, your call to action has to be different because it's a different audience base for you. So in that way, your conversions are not simply as, you know, I'm just going to do all this marketing and then just hope something works. No, that's killing your business. You can't be just doing marketing and hoping something works. There has to be a plan. There has to be a strategy. And it starts with who are you trying to attract, what's working, what's not working, and how are you going to make sure that whatever is working, you can add more to that. So be very Be very specific when it comes to your creating your avatar, who are you trying to attract to the practice, and then gear your marketing and your messaging towards them. You know, I mean, it's a very old saying, know your audience. So know them, know your audience. Chapter 4 in my book kind of goes into very specific details on how to create this, and there's actually a workbook style exercise in there that you can do too. So go ahead and do that and then create your marketing plan around it. All right, and then I have Dr. Patel saying, all of it. Oh, Dr. Patel, you make me smile. All of marketing, yes, marketing is becoming super confusing. But that's why I'm here. So that's why you can post all the questions and everything in the group, and I'll make sure that I always answer them for you. All right, and then we have Trish, you're asking me, stop the grind to actually get the content. So I think what you are trying to tell me here is that you have a lot of, you want to make sure that you're actually getting content all the time, right? That's what you're trying to tell me. So this is kind of cool because you need to make sure that when you are creating content, so for example, let's say that you have a video, and I know you have videos. You can take that one video and break it down into 10 separate pieces of content. So one video, 10 separate pieces of content. Content redistribution should be a key for you. So this way you are not always on the grind trying to get content. You should already have a folder where you have your videos and your photos and things like that. And then you can take every single one of those content, whether it's a video, whether it's a photo, whether it's an audio file, whether it's a boomerang, whether it's a GIF, whatever you made, even newsletters and articles, right? Whatever you made, you can take that one piece of content and then redistribute it multiple times. And that's the power of having content. If you have content, it's easy to create more content out of it. So, you know, if you want to stop the grind, just figure out, okay, so let's say you have a video. You can have one video, you can download that video, you can put it up on multiple channels already, right? So let's say you do, you have a Facebook video, it goes on YouTube, it goes on LinkedIn, it goes, you can chop it down, go into Instagram, you can take screenshots of it and make it into Instagram stories. You can take photos of the video, like screenshots of the video, and you can create it into multiple social media posts. You can even create a series of like fun collage and photos for inside your practice. You can even go ahead and take that video that you have, it's a specific video, make it into a blog, right? If you already have it on YouTube, you can now embed it into your website. You can also take that same video on YouTube and have the link into your newsletter, and now you can send it out to all the patients. So having content is really good because you want to make sure that you have good and current content. But once you have that content, the second part is always redistribution, because without it, it is not going to help you. You are always going to be in this space of, I need to do more content. Yes, and that could be, that is a grind. I totally agree with you. That is a grind. So focus on creating the actual content and then going with it. So chapter 8 of my book, I know you have my book. Chapter 8 of my book, it's called Niche Not Broad. And in there, if you go to chapter 8 of my book, I actually go over how do you take one piece of content. So here's an example. Chapter 8, how do you take one piece of content and you actually make it into 10 different pieces of content from that one, the one original piece, all right? I also have a little graph that shows you how you can do all this. So chapter 8 of the book is very specific. And this is not just for, you know, dental practices, Trish. You can even do this for yourself and multiple different ways. So the way you stop the grind for more content is to make sure that you are always using content that you have and then you're making multiple. Oh, hi, Noreen. How are you? Thanks for the heart. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being live. All right. So the next question we have after that. Susan is saying, I have the content. The struggle is how to best put it together and get it out there. Okay, so your question is a little bit different than Trisha's. Trish was saying, I'm on the grind of getting content. So she wants more and more content. You're telling me that I actually have content, but how do I go ahead and make sure that the content I have is going to be valuable? And how do I make sure that I'm putting the best stuff out there? Well, there's three different things when it comes to content, okay, that you want to get in front of people. The first thing that happens when you come into content is, well, you need to make sure that your content looks good. And that's really important because everything you put out there is kind of a reflection of you. So your content needs to be in line with your branding, which I mean is, you know, and I'm not all about have everything branded out there. I think that's annoying and horrible and just kind of very in your face salesy, and I'm not that person. So I do think that sometimes you just want to have great organic photos and videos and just you having fun and just who you are as a person. That definitely helps. But what I'm saying with the layout and your branding is that if you're trying to get articles out there, if you're trying to get quotes out there, if you're trying to put yourself out there, right, you need to make sure that your branding is on point, your logo is on things, your colors are on there as well. And again, this is secondary, but it needs to look good. At the end of the day, it needs to look good. And that's really important. I see a lot of good content that is not curated well, and it kind of just loses its appeal because it's not curated well. It's like, you know, when you look at clothing, right? The clothing needs to be curated well or it just kind of falls flat. So in that same way, your content needs to be curated. And Susan, I will go ahead and send you a link to a platform which I use, which is absolutely free, and you're going to love it. It's a Canva. I'm sure many of you know Canva. So it's Canva. I love Canva, and I will send you the link later so that you have that all the time. You know, so that's the first thing. You want to make sure that your content looks good. The second thing that you have that's happening. Oh, hi, Berta. How are you? Thanks for joining. Hi. The second thing that you want to make sure is your messaging. So looking good is not the only thing that you have that works, right? Looking good is great, but if your messaging sucks, then you're going to lose interest too. So when you're trying to curate content, yes, the first thing is I want to make sure that it's actually going to be appealing. So somebody's attracted to come to you. Somebody's attracted to look at the content that you're putting out. Oh, hi, Raji. How are you? Thanks for joining. Somebody's actually attracted to see that content. And then the second thing is the messaging that comes out. This is going to sound a little bit weird, but I'm going to talk about it anyways. Think about the time. Hi, Saad. Hi, thanks for joining. Think about the time you meet somebody, right? When you meet somebody, even though most of us, you know, we always say don't judge a book by the cover because we shouldn't. We should never do that. But don't you still kind of look at somebody and their aesthetics and kind of know if you want to go talk to them or not talk to them? It's the same thing with content. That's why layout is important. That's why your colors, your branding is important, because you want to make sure that your content looks good so people are attracted to it. That's the number one thing. Then the second thing is your messaging. What are you actually going to say? There are many times that you may have seen a person that is put together or is in an appealing way where somebody you want to go talk to. But as soon as they open their mouth, you're like, oh no, this is, I should have just avoided this, right? In that same way, so is your content. If somebody does find something online that grabs their attention, then what you are saying, is that relevant to them? Are they going to be engaged with it? So in the curation part, like I said, there are three different things you need to be aware of. One is the actual appeal of the content. So the layout, the colors, how it's broken down, how you are actually, you know, putting the entire piece together, whether it's a video, whether it's a photo, whatever it is. The second thing is your actual messaging. So what is it that you're trying to say? Is it clear? Is it relevant? Is it important? Hi, Sherry. Thanks for joining us. Welcome. If you are joining, tell me who you are and tell me where you're watching from. And make sure that you put your questions in here as well, so I will go ahead and answer them. Now, the third thing that you want to be very careful with the content is make sure that your content specifically is something that you could repurpose. Like I mentioned earlier today for Trish. Trish's question was, how do I go ahead and repurpose content? Well, you could do that. And that's why it's important that you take part in it. If you're going to create content, look ahead and always say, can I put this out onto my website? Can I put this out into my blog? Can I put this out into my newsletter system? Can I put this content out into, hi Ariel, thanks for joining. Can I put this out, into my office, into my business, whatever it is. Your content should always be repurposing. And that's the way to avoid burnout. That's the way to avoid this constant thing of, I need more content, I need more content. Hey, Jamie, hi, how are you? So your content needs to be three different things. Okay, first it actually needs to look good. The appeal needs to be there, because if it does not look good, people are not going to be attracted to it. The second thing is, once people are attracted to it, what is your messaging? What you are saying, is that relevant? Is it important? Is it laid out correctly? Is it easy to read? Is it easy to follow? Is it easy to hear? If I was sitting right now doing this live video in a dark room and you can't even see me, I'm going to lose you. Or in that same way, you want to make sure that you are looking good, your content is looking good, and also your messaging is looking good. And then the third thing when it comes to content is, how can you repurpose this content? If you're going to spend time and hours, creativity, working with your team, coming up with this gorgeous, beautiful, relevant content pieces, then you must reuse them. You must repurpose them. And that's going to help you stop this constant need of creating more and more content, okay? So I hope that answers your question. All right, then I have another question here from Santosh. Santosh is saying, probably establishing an emotional connection via marketing strategies that appeal to different audiences but within similar demographics. So Santosh, you know, the way I would describe this is, you're telling me that you want to emotionally go ahead and make sure that your content is attracting the right people, the right audiences, but within similar demographics. You know, people are humans, right? Like, and I know that sounds weird, but I have to say it out loud, because many times when we're looking at marketing strategies, we see them as our patients and our clients and our customers. I don't want you to see them as that. I want you to see them as humans who have a past, who have stories, who have lived a life, who have loved ones, things that, you know, they love, things that they hate. There is so much happens when you are a person, when you're a human. You're full of emotions. So yes, you want to make sure that all of your marketing strategies are always emotionally connecting to people and your audience, but you need to create an avatar for all of those audiences, even though they're same demographics. You can have, I'm going to help you right now here. Let's say you have two different moms you're trying to attract, okay? One mom you're trying to attract is somebody who is stay at home. Hi, Sarah, thanks for being here. One mom who is, you know, a stay-at-home mom, and she can come anytime during the appointments. The second one is, let's say, a working mom, and she has limited time to come to your business or your practice. Those are two different audiences. The way they decide where to shop, the way they decide who they're going to choose, the way their emotions are two different, even though they're same demographics, right? They're around the same age, they have the same age kids, they live in the same neighborhood. But that does not mean they are the same. And that's what I mean when I say create your new patient avatar very, very specifically. In fact, name your new patient avatar. I talk about this heavily, heavily all the time. You need your avatar to exist as a person that you're trying to attract. And if you're trying to attract Molly, and Molly is somebody who is a young mom and she's a working mom, she does yoga, she likes to go to book club, she only has time to schedule with you in the evening. That's very different marketing for Molly, a young mom who is a working mom, who has limited time and she has other interests, than let's say Sarah. Sarah is a stay-at-home mom who can come to your appointments any time of the day. She's more interested in play dates, and she's more interested in creating her own foods at home. She's more interested in making sure that all the meals are prepared fresh for her kids. That's a different audience. Then Molly. Molly, who is a working mom who does not have the time to do that, or nor does she enjoy that. So even though they're same demographics, same age group, same, you know, school age children, they're still two different people. And if you can pinpoint those two different people that you want to attract to your practice and to your business, then your marketing becomes easy. Because you know the messaging that's going to attract Molly, let's say, and that Molly would be somebody who wants convenience and efficiency, because she's a working mom, she doesn't have time to talk to you on the phone, and she wants to make sure that, you know, she can go online, schedule appointments, is in and out. Compared to Sarah, who is a stay-at-home mom, who actually wants to come to your practice and maybe do a tour so she can see your practice. She is somebody who makes meals for her kids every day. She's somebody who's passionate about all that stuff. Then your messaging should be about that. Do you see what I mean? Even though same demographics, even though they're same demographics, they're different people. Santosh, if you haven't gotten my book, the entire book is all about how do you make sure that you have avatars, how do you create them, and how do you attract the right people. So, you know, loved your question, how do you create emotional connection with marketing strategies that appeal to different audiences but within similar demographics, like what I just told you. Create your audience. It's so very important for you to create your audience. And I can't tell you more, you know, I can't emphasize enough that you need to know who your audience is, because without them, it's not going to help you. Know your audience, then create your marketing with it. Hi, Sean. Hi, David. Hi, Becky. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining. If you're watching, tell me who you are and tell me where you're watching from. All right, so going through the questions here. Uchi, you asked me knowing what's working and what's not working. I mean, a simple way of knowing what's working and what's not working is just looking at your results, right? And saying, all right, this really worked for me, or all right, this did not really work for me. You know, that's a simple way. But the way you want to do this, especially if you are trying to put content out saying what's working, what's not working, you want to go ahead and focus on, is your content relevant to the people who are watching or listening or reading your content, right? So, Uchi, I know that, you know, you are amazing. You are a global speaker and you talk a lot about health and fitness. Now, if you're talking about health and fitness, you want to go specifically into what are some major trends and some major issues happening in health and fitness. So, for example, a lot of times people are having a hard time doing cauliflower crust, right? That's kind of a trendy thing. Or a lot of time they have an issue with being consistent with going to the gym and working out. For example, me, I hate the gym. I have a home gym and I still pay a membership to a gym and have a personal trainer just so that I show up to work out, because I absolutely hate workout. So for somebody like me, you want to put content out there that tells me, well, what are some tips and ways that I can make sure that I'm consistently showing up for myself? And that's where your content comes. So what's working is going to be what's relevant to your audience. What's not working is going to be things that you're just putting out there in a promotional sort of way. All right. So the first thing is, what do your audience actually want to know from you? And that's what it is. I still remember I heard you speak, you know, we're friends now, but before I really got into any of this, I heard you speak a few years back and you actually talked about drinking hibiscus tea in the morning. And that really connected with me because I'm a tea drinker. I don't drink coffee. So I was like, oh, I should be drinking hibiscus tea. And I've been drinking hibiscus tea. You know, I have that as one of my staple teas now. So you told me to do that, but it, again, I associate with it because I am a tea drinker. Now, if you're telling a coffee drinker to go ahead and, hi, Lewis, how are you? Coffee drinker to go ahead and talk about tea, they're not going to be interested in that. So your question about what's working and what's not working in marketing is, are you relevant? Is what you're sharing relevant? And that's why I said, look at the trends and look at the questions you come in. You could create an easy Q&A thing, like how I'm doing right now. You can come online and answer questions. You can even just post them. You can say, this is a question I got, here's the answer, right? So you can share relevant information. The second thing that you want to do with your, you know, what is working, what is not working, and the second thing that you do want to do is, once you have this information, so once you have all this content that people actually want to know from you, that is relevant to them, that is helping them in their own journeys, the second thing is you need to share your journey. And you have an incredible journey. How you started and when you started and the befores and the afters that you have are absolutely incredible. So if you're going to share stuff like that, I would say that people want to connect with you because you have been through that. And you are not just somebody who, you know, woke up, in the best shape and eats the best food. No, you have been there. You have been where they are. And you have taken this path of becoming better, becoming healthier, being conscious of what you're putting in your body. So share that journey with them. Give them the motivation through you because you have done it. And because you have done it, you connect with them. So I would actually encourage you to share parts of your stories, to part of your journey that you had, this incredible healthy journey that you have had. I think it's absolutely amazing. So share that. So Uchi, I hope I answered that question for you right there. Let me take a break. All right, the next question we have here is from Dr. Raghavan, and she says, which platform do I target and how to funnel it? When I did a new patient analysis, I saw most of mine came through Google searches and insurance. I did some direct mailer marketing too and got a response, but I don't think I sustained it long enough for some other business related reasons. So I'm confused on how to proceed, and I hate confusion. I hate confusion too. I think confusion is just, oh, absolutely horrible. Hi, Dawn. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being here. So if you are somebody who is creating this, funnels, or it's trying to look for different marketing things to do, you want to first start with, before you go into what platform or what kind of marketing outlets I go ahead and I use, you want to switch that around a little bit, okay? And you want to focus on who you're trying to attract. Because if you focus on who you're trying to attract, then you can see what marketing outlets are going to help you get in front of them. Do you see what I mean? It's a different strategy than just saying, this is a popular marketing outlet right now. This is trending right now in marketing. So I would just use it and I'll just do it. It doesn't work, does it? There is so many marketing things out there, and all marketing works, all marketing doesn't work. It all comes down to who are you trying to attract. If you're trying to attract an implant patient, that's a whole different kind of marketing that you want to do than you're trying to just attract for, let's say, a family dentistry, right? So just regular dentistry. That's two different kinds of marketing that you want to do. So it's not more about the marketing platforms. It's all about who are you trying to attract. And then you kind of figure out what platforms you want to go to. So if you got my book, I spend a lot of time in this, especially in the first few chapters. And there's a chapter that I actually have in here called Leverage, Not Follow, which I think is going to be really good for you if you're confused with where your marketing is right now. Because in Leverage and Not Follow, in that chapter in the book, I actually talk about how you don't want to do too much marketing. You don't want to get the shiny object syndrome. You want to be very specific on who you want to attract and then choose a marketing outlet. So that's number thing. How do I target and how to funnel it? That's how you funnel it. If you're trying to attract somebody like me and you're going to send me 10 emails, I will immediately not like you and I'll unfollow you and I'll make sure that I unsubscribe, because that's not how you reach me, right? That's very different marketing than somebody else you're trying to attract. So focus on your avatar. Always focus on your avatar. Then focus on the marketing that works. And like I said, all marketing works, all marketing does not work. And that's the truth. And it does not work when it's in the wrong front of the wrong audience, it doesn't have a right system, does not have the right messaging, and it works because, well, it's attracting the right people. So you need to know the people you want to attract before you jump into the marketing game. And remember, when you start to streamline your marketing, you are going to decrease your marketing budget, right? So when I work with clients, my superpower per se is, they all see, on average, my clients see a marketing budget, right? So they see a reduction by 20% in their marketing expenses while increasing production. So I am all about not doing too much marketing. I'm all about doing efficient marketing. And that's what you want to focus on. Hi, Aaron. Hi, Shoba. Hi, Elisa. Hi, Martel. Thanks for watching, guys. If you're watching, tell me who you are. Tell me where you're watching from as I do all this live Q&A questions. We got a lot of questions in the group, so I'm trying to make sure that I answer them all. All right, so that was the first question. And then you said that when you did your patient analysis, most of yours came through Google searches and insurance. Google search is amazing. Again, did they search for you? Are you looking at your reports? Are they coming there because of like an AdWords funnel? Are they coming there because of reviews? Are they coming there because they're searching for like a dentist near me? What are your keywords? What keywords are not working? So you want to do a little bit more detailed analysis on Google search, because that's a broad term. There are so many different things on Google that you show up for. So what do you mean by Google search? And if reviews are working for you, highlight them. Clearly people are seeing them, right? If Google reviews are working for you, clearly they're seeing them, highlight them. Make them a part of your content strategy for all your marketing. So for example, let's say that you are doing social media. Take those reviews and make them into social media posts. And please don't just repost the review. I don't want you to do that, but curate it, make it look good. Shoot me an email, I'll show you a couple of examples. You want to curate the reviews properly so they're showing up right. Because if that's getting you people in your practice, then yeah, leverage that. But put it everywhere. Make sure that you also have what I like to do, call it pretty much as a testimonial wall. So as soon as somebody walks into your practice, hi Liz, thanks for being here. as soon as somebody walks into the practice, you should have an area where people can see, like, you know, a wall where they can see all these reviews, how much they love, how much your current patients love you, the befores and the afters, almost like a how great we are wall, but not saying it like that, you know, just making more humbling. And just, you know, we love it when you share your experience with us. And then you just have a whole area where you have reviews posted and, you know, you have handwritten notes and befores and afters. So it's very appealing because that's working for you. So take what that content that is working for you and then add it everywhere, repurpose it. Even when you do the new patient folders, and if you have, you know, meet us kind of thing, right? Your review should be there. If your reviews are getting you more patients, well, they should also be highlighted on your website. So if you know what's working for you, you need to make sure that you're putting it out there. Liz, you said, do you need to get patient permission? Yes, I mean, you want to always get patient permission, but when I share reviews, I never put their full names. I am kind of a privacy freak, so I don't suggest that you put full names out there, obviously, unless they give you written permission and they're A-okay with you putting their full name out. You know, if they're doing a video, for example, if they're doing photos, then absolutely you need a written permission form if you're going to be sharing that. Absolutely. Let's just say that you got a Google review, you know, and if you can always reach out to the patient and say, do you mind if we share it? That's great. And if they say yes, absolutely go ahead. What I do is when I do share reviews that are coming in through Google, through Facebook, all that stuff, I never put the patient's full name. And I always make sure that it's not, we are not doing any kind of HIPAA violations, right? So don't go out in the world and say, well, we did this and this and this on this patient. And obviously you're not going to do that. So that is very specific to you. But yeah, I would be careful of a couple of things. The patient privacy, I would absolutely be, you know, more diligent in that part. And then second thing, I would never choose a review, or I would never reply or talk about anything that would violate HIPAA. So those are the only two things I want you to be specific about. But yeah, if you wanted to go at patient permission, sure. But if somebody wrote a Google review for you, you can pretty much just have their first, you know, letter of their name, block out the rest and put it up, make sure their photo is blurred out and things like that. That works okay too. If not, then you can always go ahead and get a full, you know, permission name, or just do the first name, the last name, same thing. Just be very careful of how you're doing it. Okay, I hope I answered that question. Hi, Krupa. Hi. Hi, Karishma. Thanks for being here. Hi, Michael. Hello, guys. Thanks for joining me live. So, you know, Dr. Raghwan, that was the second question you asked me. And then you said you did some direct mailer, but you don't know if it worked, it didn't work. You know, that stuff is hard. I do think that there is still a market for direct mail. I have seen it work really well for some of my clients. But once again, it all depends on who you're trying to target, the demographics, your competition. You know, how does your mailer look? What kind of promotion do you have? You know, what is your call to action? So there is so much that goes into every single marketing strategy that you do, that if you just do it to do it, it's not going to work. There has to be a way for you to understand it, leverage it, and then maximize that effort. That's why I say all marketing works, all marketing does not work. And in an unfortunate way, it kind of comes down to us to see who we are trying to target and how we are getting in front of people and what do we want to do about it, okay? And what is our budget? Because, you know, if you are a practice in New York compared to a practice in, you know, Midwest suburbia, that's different budgeting. Again, whole different level of messaging, whole different level of the kind of content, kind of the curation. So I go back to know your audience. Who do you want to attract? Build your avatar. I can't tell you more how important this is. Build your avatar. If you haven't built it already, just, you know, it's in the book. Go ahead and read that. It's chapter 2. It's chapter 3. I go into details about this because that's why the clients that I work with see a success, because it's no longer just marketing to do marketing. It's marketing very specifically. So strategies are important, but knowing your avatar is way more important. So I hope I answered all your questions there. Then we have so many other questions coming here. How many times should I, so doctor, hold on, let me restart here. Oh, lots more questions. How important is it to add location to Instagram post? Oh, very important. You know, absolutely you want to add location to Instagram post, because Instagram is a little bit different than Facebook. Instagram actually thrives on hashtags. And if you want to do hashtags, if you want to be found in certain hashtags in certain towns, Use location. Location is great for Instagram. So yes, I would say that's a yes. Please go do that. And also add locations to stories. Yes, and hashtag your city as well. Absolutely. So if you're doing Instagram stories, hashtag your city, put the location on. All of that is good stuff. Make sure that you're adding it all on there. Okay, and then I have a question, or how do you do Instagram story ads that work? Well, what do you mean by Instagram? And I know that I said, can you post a message? Hi, Kay, how are you? Can you post, and I told you to, message me with some current ads, and you said you don't have any. You can do multiple different things. When you do stories, Instagram stories, again, stories are behind the scenes, so they're going to disappear very quickly. So instead of just focusing on the story ads, I want you to kind of focus on the actual Instagram posts that you can target to multiple people. Stories are great because you can add so many things to them. You can add, you can add the locations and the hashtags, and you can be more casual and more fun with a story because it does disappear, but post kind of remains on Insta. So yeah, if you're going to do ads, you can actually run all ads because Facebook owns Instagram. You can actually run all ads in your business manager or your ads manager of Facebook. And when you create those ads, what you can do is you can create your target audience. And when you go to the creative portion of it, you can choose an existing post. And this is where you can see all your Instagram posts as well. If you go ahead and make sure that you have your Instagram account selected and connected, right? So go through business manager or go through ads manager to create your ads. I like that a lot better than simply doing ads on Instagram directly. I have found more success and more relevant targeting when I go through ads manager than when I directly just kind of go to Instagram and try to like do an ad and promotion, just because ads manager and business manager, they give me a lot more control of the audience I'm trying to attract than just randomly picking some stuff on Instagram. So yeah, Instagram, I would say switch it up. Don't just do it on Insta, but make sure that you're using the actual ads manager, or if you're a business manager, you're using one or the other. Then the next question I have here is, why do people post boring stuff that never get more than one heart and it's a wasted effort? You know what? I think people post boring stuff because people think that they have to post, that they absolutely need to post. And like I mentioned when I first started this conversation here today, you don't have to post every day. Please do not post something that is not relevant or engaging. Just don't post it. It's actually hurting you. When you have posts going out and people are not engaging with it, your page is actually going down and down organically because there is no engagement. Engagement is key. It is key. So, for people who are trying to post just to post, don't post. Post because you want to, because you need to. You have a relevant message. It's curated well. The message is great, and you can repurpose that content. Three things you need to make sure that you're creating. If you are not doing that, then no, don't post. I hate filler posts. Don't do filler posts. And that brings me to the next discussion we were having in the group here. Over the weekend, we had a few discussions about trying to find people and trying to get people on social media management. There are many different social media companies in our industry, okay? So there are companies that will do they will just manage it for you. There are companies that create content for you. And then somebody like me who's a social media coach. So I actually train your team to leverage social media and to use it. And it's a one-on-one training, so it's not an online course. There are online courses available by other people as well. So you have options. But here's my thought process on this. The first thing is, When I do the social media training, right, what I have realized, and remember, I've been doing this since 2008, so it's been 12 years, hundreds of practices, spoken nationally, internationally about this stuff. The content that converts, so if your goal with social media is to get new clients, to get new patients, right, then you need to make sure that you have somebody internally, number one, or somebody that knows your culture, your information, who's curating and doing all that posting for you. It works so much better than filler posts. Like I said, I am not a fan of filler posts. You're hurting it. You're actually hurting your business page when you're doing filler posts. Do not do them. There is no such thing as posting three times a day, once a day. No, you can post three or four times a week on Facebook. As long as your content is engaging, it's going to keep showing up because you're getting comments. And again, your content is engaging, you can boost it to show to the right people as well. So you have many different options to get your content in front of people, but your content has to be good. If it's filler, don't post it. Just don't. It's as simple as that. You know, take a post note, put it on your computer, don't post filler content. Just don't do it. And like I was saying, for me, what I have found the most success with is making sure that somebody internally inside your practice, or even if you have a virtual assistant for your business, that they actually are the one curating. The trick to social media is you can't just simply be present. You have to be active. That's the trick to social media. That's the bottom line, is you have to be active. If you're coming here live with me right now and you see that I'm giving you shout outs, that's the trick to social media. When somebody comments, if you go to the group page, you're going to see that I comment back. That's the trick to social media. You have to be active. You can't just be present, because you need to be social. And if you don't have somebody who's doing that for you in a language and in a way that is consistent with your brand, then that's a problem. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. So when I have seen conversions, and I mean conversions as in like within 6 months, social media becomes one of their top referral sources without all the crazy ads and stuff. This is organic content. This is building that thing. Those are the results I'm talking about. And social media could be multiple things, right? It could be brand awareness. Listen, if you just want brand awareness, sure, go ahead and do that. Do you want actual conversions? Do you want to get your name out? Are you trying to compete? What is your goal with social media? And please don't tell me it's because, well, everybody's on social media, so I have to be on social media. That's not a goal. I know many practices and businesses who are not on social media and they are thriving. So no, that's not a goal. So there is always a way for you if you're not comfortable with it. You know, is it important? Sure, yeah. There are a billion daily active users on Facebook. So 100% it's important. But if it doesn't match your audience, if it doesn't match your brand, if it doesn't match your messaging, then don't waste time on it. You have succeeded so far, right? So continue to do that and then slowly add on. Don't sign up with any marketing platform just because everybody else is doing it. It's not going to help you. You know, that's the honest truth. That will kill your business. So don't just do that. That's going to create stress. If you need to take time doing it, take time doing it. Do it a stepwise process. It's totally okay for you to do that. As long as you have people coming in, you're making money, you're meeting your goals, that's great. And social media is different. You know, LinkedIn is very, very different than Facebook, than Instagram, you know, than YouTube, all of these channels, even TikTok, right? Like, they're very different and they have their own way of doing things, their own way to leverage them. In my experience, social media has worked 100 times better when you have somebody internally handling it. Even if you have a virtual assistant, they need to have photos and videos with you. Content has to be culture, a relevancy, what's your story, your why, your messaging has to be focused on that. That's when it kind of converts. Otherwise, if you're going to post another post about whitening with a stock photo, well, that's another post with whitening with a stock photo. All right. So no, you want to try and see what you can do well and focus on your social media goals. Then find a company. And there are a company dime a dozen in our industry and outside that provides so many of this marketing services. So focus on your goals. What do you actually want? So even when you speak with somebody, even if you were to speak with me, right? Let's say you were to get on a discovery call with me. My first question to you is always, what is your goal with this? Why do you want this? What are you trying to establish with this? And that's the truth. And to be honest with you, all my clients, because, you know, as a strategist and a social media coach, all my clients, they are required to have somebody inside their practice that can work with me. If they don't have somebody inside their practice that they can work with me, I don't sign them on. I either help them hire somebody that will become my go-to person inside the practice and that can handle their marketing, or I simply wait it out and see when they are ready. I do not work with practices that do not have somebody that I can directly work with. And that is because of the fact that I have seen major results when you have somebody inside your practice managing it. Now, that does not mean they have to build your websites and do your SEO. Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you need to be able to delegate what you have to delegate outside of your business to experts, and then keep what you can inside, but there has to be somebody who's overlooking that stuff. So this confused, you know, confused feeling, this overwhelming, I need to get all of this done, doesn't happen. This is somebody's job, and they're taking care of this for you. And that's just brilliant, because you can sleep at night and not have to worry about, oh man, I have to put a post tomorrow on Facebook. That's just annoying. So, you know, there is definitely ways you can go around it. The bottom line is come up with your goal. What do you want to achieve? Even with the social media platforms, anything in marketing you're doing, even if you're doing print mailers, if you're doing an event, if you're doing ground marketing, whatever you're doing, what is your goal? Brand awareness, conversions, competition, you're trying to do something new, you're trying to, you know, expand your network. What is your goal? And then we can figure out the right strategy, the right platform, the right company, all that good stuff. All right, so that's where you want to be focused on. Oh, Laura, you make me smile. Thank you so much. Oh, Karishma, I'm so glad you're enjoying the show. Hi, Kelly, how are you? Are you back in the? Are you back in Charlotte, or are you still traveling? I think you may be still traveling. So, you know, that was a question that I received that I wanted to answer. That the next question I have is, if I'm using social media as my current marketing platform, okay, and I'm expected to post daily. Again, why are you expected to post daily? I just ranted about don't post daily. It's okay. So I already answered that for you. What's the best content for engagement? Magazine articles, just a quote or something I quickly write up. Too many or not too many or not enough lives. Videos in general. That's a lot of content you're putting out there. I would mix it all up, all right? So I wouldn't get bored. And I don't let other, you know, viewers and listeners and followers get bored too. If you see here, I post quotes, I post articles, I do live videos. Yeah, so I keep the followers and my audience excited and learning. So yeah, absolutely, you can mix it all up. There is nothing that says you have to post daily. Again, I'm not going to go into the rant again because I just did that. But no, just post a few times a week. You know, 4 or 5 times is enough. Make sure you're posting. And when you're posting it, make sure the content is engaging. So even if you were to look at your articles you're posting, or a quote you're posting, or a doing a live video, or whatever it is that you're doing, is it going to get engagement? If it's going to get engagement, do it. If it's not going to get engagement, don't do it. It's as simple as that. There is no specific strategy when it comes to it. The only strategy is to know your audience clearly, which Linda, I know you know because you bought my book and you read it. So to know your audience, who are you trying to attract? And then based on that audience, see how you're going to do it. So that's the number one thing. The second thing is, how are you putting your content out there? You know, so for example, you mentioned live video. So I'm doing a live video right now. When I do my live video, I announce when I'm going to be live. Then I actually have people like you who post questions in the group and I answer them. So I know that you're going to show up and you're going to watch this video. So you see, I'm kind of telling you to show up, that I will go ahead and answer your questions. So now you're watching my video. So you are engaged with my video. Do you see what I'm doing there? So you always have to make sure that you're showing up for your audience. Now I can take the same video. Let's say my team, right? We're going to download this video. We'll make the audio into a podcast. We'll take the video. We'll add captions. Once we add captions, it's much more easier for people to view it, because not everybody has headphones and they are not going to hear me talk the whole time. So again, once you have your content, how are you going to maximize your content should be the question you're asking, not how much content I should be sharing, right? How am I going to maximize it? If you have a photo, if you have a video, if you have an article, if you have a quote, how are you going to maximize your content? And that's the important part about your content. If you are just going to put a photo up and, you know, you are, let's just say you're doing a throwback photo, then add the story to the throwback photo. Add it in the actual caption area and then have the throwback photo. And then break up your story, how you write your messaging, right? So now we are getting into layout and we're getting into curation of a post. Those things are really important, because if your post is not attractive, if your content is not going to bring somebody, you know, and kind of stop them in their path and say, I need to read this, or I want to watch this, then you have lost them. So curation is important too. I want you to get away from this quantity game, saying I'm expected to post daily. No, it's not a quantity game. It's a quality game. If you're going to post, is it relevant? Is it good? Is it going to catch somebody's attention? Is it curated well, right? Are you maximizing that piece of content if you have a video? Are you making sure that you're doing everything you can with that video? Are you redistributing it on multiple channels? Are you taking that one video, taking screenshots, doing mini videos out of it, making sure that you have more and more content out of it? So your strategy should be based on quality versus quantity, all right? Hey, Laura, thanks for joining. Oh, you make me smile, Laura. Joy, thank you for being here as well. Yeah, Sunday surprise. I got a lot of questions in the group this week, and I just wanted to come on and show up for you guys and make sure I answer them. I've already been live for an hour, so I got to get through these quick. We got like 50, 60 questions. How often should we, so Dr. Lee, you're asking me, how often should we post per week? I mentioned that already. 3 to 4 times is fine. Just make sure whatever you're posting is engaging. Otherwise, don't post it. What tips do you have to get interaction and engagement with your business posts? Likes, comments, and shares. All right, Brianne. So you know what? When it comes down to interactions, engagement, there are 3 different things you want to do. The first thing is you need to understand how business pages work. So Facebook a few years back came out and said that their algorithm prefers personal pages over business pages. I'm sure you have seen that, right? I'm sure you have noticed that you had a drop in engagement. And that happened because, you know, Facebook said, well, we have friends and family here, so we are going to put their post organically higher than your business post. So for example, I will see a post from my mom or a friend than your business page, even if I'm liking or following it. So you need to understand that and accept that because that's how it's happening. The second thing is, again, like I keep saying, if you're going to go ahead and put your post out there, are they emotional? Are they engaging? Is it information that people want? Is it information that people are going to come back to your page for? So, Brianne, you posted this 20 hours ago on my page, and I said, I'm going to come online and do the video. Now, you may not be here right now watching me live, but you're going to come back to this page, and you're going to watch this video, so, you know, to go to the Q&A, right, for you. So, in that same way, I'm bringing you back to my group. So is your content that you're sharing, is it relevant to your followers, to the people who like your page? So that's the second thing. If you want to get more engagement from people, give them what they need. Give them what they want. Don't share fillers. Don't share crazy promotionals. I do an 80-20 rule every week when I do postings. 80% is more of, you know, just like kind of business stuff, but like fun stuff and stories and celebrations and things like that. And then 20% is direct promotional. So 20%, you will see a post about buying my book, or you will see a post about buying one into my workshop, or you will see a post about, you know, direct sales. But 80% of it is craziness of me, you know, speaking or like sharing something or fun stuff, you know, things like that. So 80-20 rule is really important. When you do that, when you're doing your postings. So that's how you're going to get it. And the third way for you to get more engagement, likes, and interaction on your business page is by paying Facebook to do it. Is by making sure that you're doing Facebook ads, because in your business page is really the only page you can do business ads on. You cannot do business ads on your personal page. You cannot do ads inside a group. That is all organic traffic. You cannot do ads. But on your business page, you can do ads. So the third option is you pay Facebook to get in front of people. But again, remember, if you're paying Facebook to get in front of people, that also means that your content has to be good. You can pay somebody to get in front of the people, but if it's not good content, they're still not going to engage, right? So your content has to be super engaging, like I said. And then you can follow the other steps that I mentioned to you. Here is a trick with Facebook ads. You want to always go ahead and boost them to people who like your page and their friends first. And then you want to use that same post in Ads Manager to show it to a target audience. Because if you have a cold audience that you are creating, they have no interaction with you, they don't know who you are, and they're going to receive this post from you, why would they interact with you? Especially if they don't have comments and engagement from other people. So it's really important that you give that specific post, comments and engagement. That's why I said, make sure that you are first getting it out, paid ad to the people who like your page and their friends. So this way you have posts, comments, and you have engagement and you have all that good stuff. And then you can select the same post and bring it to a target new audience, a cold audience. And they're going to be more likely to work with a post or stop and read a post that has engagement than a just completely cold post from a new audience, from a new company they don't know, okay? So again, strategy, really important on how you leverage that stuff. All right, and then the last thing I wanted to go over today is that we do have the live video challenge. So if you're doing the live video challenge, please make sure you do it. I want you to get comfortable with videos. Videos make up 80% of content online. So follow the rules, it's very easy to do. I'm only asking you to do 5 things in the live video challenge. You already see there's a bunch of people who've been doing it. You have the month of March to do the video challenge, so why not do it? And we are going to pick a winner not based on how much comments or how good the video is. We're just going to randomly pick a winner from everybody who has done a live. And that person will get a 2-hour strategy call with me for free. So please, please, please make sure that you do that. And I hope you have a wonderful Sunday. I'll be back next week with more questions. Feel free to interact as usual. And I got you. So I'll be here for you. Thanks, guys. Bye.